Okay. Let's go. We have, welcome back. Welcome back. We haven't started yet, so we're kind of just schmoozing. But we're in Epstein, and we're studying Yehoshua. That's about the only thing that is. That is the only thing that is really important right now. So.
I had the opportunity to share the Yehoshua ideas. Someone said to me, "Oh, it's a real moral problem what goes on in Yehoshua." That just opened
you,
up.
So you said, "Well." I once had a discussion with I won't say who, but a senior member of the YU educational operation. Many, many years ago, it was when I first started, the first time I taught Yehoshua, which was in Calgary. And I asked his advice. I said, you know, if you're teaching Yehoshua, how do you advise dealing with some of these issues? He looks at me and he says, get out of Yehoshua as quickly as you can. I was never one for following advice. For a long time. Yes, it was supposed to be a 2-year plan. It still is a 2-year plan. So we're all right. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, we only really go up to chapter 11.
Oh, okay.
Then we go bankrupt. No, the second half of Yehoshua is basically chapter after chapter after chapter of names of places and the division. So we'll do that in 2 weeks. From chapter 11 and chapter 20, which is 2-3 weeks, we'll be done. And then there's a couple of shiurim at the end of, I haven't given them out yet, but this is an old one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you can take the back of this if
I
you want.
Read it, I promise.
You can. It doesn't matter. That is so. We're okay. And the second half of the sefer always goes faster than the first half. So we're. I usually average about 7 chapters a year, and we'll average about 5 or 6 this year. So we're okay. But we are at the very end of chapter 4. We've essentially looked at the story of the crossing of the Arden from a number of perspectives. We've looked at it from the perspective of who's doing what, the division of the camp, the tribes, the Kohanim, who's standing where and what that represents. We looked at the story from the perspective of why was it necessary to cross the Arden in such a bombastic fashion, partially the practicality of crossing a Arden, which was in those days much bigger than it is today, but also the theological implications of the repetition of, or the reenactment, so to speak, of Kriyat Yamsuf and the parallel between Kriyat HaYarden and Kriyat Yamsuf. I made a half a passing hint to that in Shul on the last day of Yontif for those who were there and caught it. And then we talked a little bit of the parallel between Moshe and Yehoshua, as well as the significance for Bnei Israel in terms of the conquest of Canaan and the impact that it had on the Canaanites. And that leaves us really one final subchapter in our discussion of the crossing of the Arden, the one piece of the story we haven't addressed at all. We kind of skipped it, and we said, okay, we'll come back to it. So now we have to come back to it. And that is the saga, or the story of the stones. What's going on with those stones that Yeshua?
I don't think she says stones, it says monument.
Well, we'll get to the monument. The word matzeva is a monument, and the word even is a stone. So you take stones, and out of them you build a monument. Right? You take even, you make a matzeva. Let's go back to the psukim, and we'll see what's going on. So the beginning of chapter 4. By the way, there are extra Tanakhs in the library. If anybody forgets their Tanakh, there's They are.
The rabbi's idea.
There's a whole shelf of them in the library. Just as long as you put them back, we should be okay.
Chapter 4. Right from the beginning. Vayi kasher tamu kol hagoy le'avor et hayarden. Entire nation crossed over crossed the Jordan. Vayomer Hashem el Yoshua le'mor. Kulachem min ha'am shneim asar anashim ish echad mishabat. Take 12 people, one per tribe. Vitzavu otam le'mor. And instruct them, saying, thus, Su'ulachem mizeh mitoch ha'yarden, take from this, from the Yarden, mimatzav raglei ha'kohanim,
from the place where the Kohanim are standing. Matzav, nitzav means to stand. Hashem nitzav alav. So, in the place where the Kohanim are matzav raglei ha'kohanim, from the place where the Kohanim are standing, from literally from under their feet. Hechin 12 avanim, prepare 12 stones. Vahavartem otam imachem, vihinachtem otam bemalona shetalinu bohalaila. Take them with you and place them in the wherever you're going to be camping tonight. That sounds very much like a temporary placing, and that is in fact the situation. It's temporary, and that's what they're instructed to do. Take 12 stones. Dafka from the underneath the feet of the Kohanim who are in the middle of the Yarden, and prepare them. What do we do with these stones? We haven't yet defined. Vayikra Yoshua el shneim ha'asar ish asher hechin mibnei Yisrael. That paragraph, by the way, is in parenthesis, is in a paragraph break. Why is that paragraph in a break? Why is there a paragraph before and after? Why is that instruction from God to Yoshua in a bracketed paragraph before and after? I suspect it's because it's a reference to us of a dialogue that had taken place earlier.
There's another one right before in the middle that's the same thing.
That's true. There, however, I think the chronology is sequential. Here it sounds like the chronology is not sequential, and the reason I say that is because if you look at the beginning of Pasuk Dalid, Vayikra Yoshua al shneim ha'asar ish asher hechin mibnei Yisrael. He called the 12 people whom he had prepared from before. Why did he prepare them before? So the Navi is telling us he prepared them before because this was God's instruction, but most likely an instruction earlier, and therefore it's bracketed off. Ish echad mishavet, again, one person per tribe. Vayomer lehem Yoshua, ivru lifnei Adon Hashem Elokechem, Aron Hashem Elokechem, go walk in front of the Aron, el toch ha'yarden, go back into the Yarden. Varimu lechem ish even echad al shichmo lemispar shivtei bnei Yisrael. And pick up one person, each a stone, according to the numbers of bnei Yisrael. So if we're counting, as we did with the Kohanim, how many times does it emphasize the fact that the number of stones was 12?
In both paragraphs?
In both paragraphs. I've counted at least three. Right? Chulechem min ha'am shnim esar anashim ish echad mishavet. In Pasuk Bet. Actually, four. Go and go back into the Yarden. Take from underneath the feet of the Kohanim Hachin 12 avanim twice. Then in Pasuk Dalet, Vayikra Yoshua el shneim ha'asar ish asher hechin mibnei Yisrael. That's three. Ish echad mishavet. Four. And he says to them, Harimu lechem ish even achat al shichmo l'mispar shiftei bnei Yisrael. That's five. And then pasuk vav, leman tiyeh zot bekirbechem. And what is all of this for? Why do I need to take these five stones? Yeah, there's 12 stones. Ki ish'alun b'nechem machar le'mor ma'havanim ha'ela lachem. When your children will ask you, what do these stones mean to you? V'amartem lahem, אשר נחרטו ממי הירדן מפני ארון ברית השם ועברו בירדן נחרטו ממי הירדן. These stones represent the fact that God split the Yarden. והיו האבנים האלה לזיכרון לבני ישראל עד עולם. And they will be a testimony for Bnei Israel for eternity to the story of Chatzayat HaYarden, the splitting of the Yarden. ויעז כבני ישראל כאשר ציווה יהושע ויישאו 12 אבנים מתוך הירדן. They take 12 stones, surprise, surprise. כאשר דיבר השם על יהושע למספר שבטי בני ישראל. According to the number of children of Israel. That's now 7. ויעבירום עמם אל המלון והניחו שם. They take them to the place where they were going to tarry that night. ושתים עשרה אבנים הקים יהושע בתוך הירדן. And 12 stones יהושע placed in the ירדן, תחת מצב רגלי הכהנים נושא ארון הברית. Under the feet of the כהנים who carried the ark. והיו שם עד היום הזה, and there they would remain until today. So how many stones are there? 24. There's the first optical illusion. There aren't 12 stones. There are 24 stones. There are two separate monuments. There are two separate sets of 12. God told Yeshua to take 12. Yeshua commanded Bnei Israel to do exactly as God had instructed. Take 12 stones from underneath the feet of the Kohanim. Take them to the place where they're going to tarry. Take them to the camp. They take them out of the Yarden and they bring them to the camp. And then Yeshua takes another 12 stones from Matzav Raglei HaKohanim, from underneath where the Kohanim are standing. And with them, what does he do with them? Hekim Yehoshua. He set them up. In what fashion and what way? Unclear. And that he does. And that he does. So I have my first question, if you will, or the first optical illusion we have to address, which is, why the two sets of stones? God's command was one set of stones, set of 12. We still don't understand what they're for, but that was God's command to Yehoshua. Yehoshua seemingly on his own initiative doubles the monument, takes 12 stones with them out of the Yarden, and 12 stones he sets up in the Yarden itself. What do they do with the 12 stones? He adds another 12. He adds another set of stones, correct. What he does with the first set, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Right now, he's just done what God told him, which is to take them to wherever the camp is going to be. But then, if you look at the end of the perek, jump now to Pasuk Yud Zion. Let's start from Pasuk Yud Tet. והעם עלו מן הירדן בעשור לחודש הראשון. The people came, crossed over the Yarden on the 10th of the first month, the 10th of Nisan. ויחנו בגילגל בקצה מזרח יריחו. And they encamped in Gilgal, in the edge of Yericho, east of Yericho. The name of the place is called Gilgal, not because it was Gilgal beforehand, but it's called Gilgal after the next chapter, the next story which we'll come to. ואת 12 האבנים האלה אשר לקחו מן הירדן הקים יהושע בגלגל. The 12 stones which they had taken from the Yarden, Yehoshua set up in the Gilgal. ויאמר אל בני ישראל לאמור אשר ישאלון בניכם מחר את אבותם לאמור מה האבנים האלה. What is this for? So that when your children will ask you tomorrow saying, what are these stones for? הודעתם את בניכם לאמור ביבשה עבר ישראל את הירדן הזה. You'll be able to tell your children that God took us over the Yarden on dry land. אשר הוביש השם אלוקיכם את מי הירדן מפניכם עד עברכם כאשר עשה השם אלוקיכם לים סוף אשר הוביש מפנינו עד עברנו. You'll be able to tell your children that God took us over on dry land just as he had done to the ים סוף. למען דעת כל עמי הארץ את יד השם כי חזקה היא למען יראתם את השם אלוקיכם כל הימים. So that all the nations of Canaan will know that God's hand is strong. Another reference to Yitziat Mitzrayim, Yad Chazakah, and that you will fear God all the days of your life. That's the second time that Yehoshua has said to them that the purpose of this is so that when your children will ask, you will say to them. The first was to the 12 people who were so commanded, and now it's to all of Bnei Israel. So clearly, first of all, there are two sets of stones. One is set up as some kind of a monument in the waters of the Yarden, which is kind of a silly thing to do because once the water comes back, nobody's going to see them ever. So that's a little bit of a strange place to put the stones. And number two, the second set he sets up in Gilgal. Where does all of this come from? So I want to show you two additional passages. We're going to come to Yaakov in a moment. It's an interesting parallel to Yaakov. We're going to come to Yaakov's stone in a moment. But first, turn to Devarim, Perek. Turn to Devarim, Perek, Chav Zayin. I also have this backwards, but we're going to do this differently. The only place in the Torah we find an instruction vis-a-vis stones is in the following context. Devarim Perek Yud Zayin, it's Perek Chaf Zayin. Let's start from the beginning. Vayitzav Moshe v'ziknei Yisrael et ha'am lemor. Moshe and the elders instruct Israel as saying as follows. Shamor et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. Guard this commandment which I tell you. Bayom asher tavru et hayarden. On the day that you cross over the Yarden, al ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach, the land God will give you. V'hakemota lecha avanim gdolot. Set up for yourself large stones. So the precedent for this seems to be given as a command in the Torah. But not quite. What do you do with these stones? First of all, v'sadata otam basid. First of all, cover them with plaster. How many stones? Doesn't say. Cover them with plaster. When you finish covering them with plaster, what you have is a large monument of stones covered in plaster, creates a single object. What do you do with the single object? What's the purpose of covering them with plaster? Well, the rationale of covering them with plaster is that it turns them into a surface upon which you can write. V'chatavta alehen et kol divrei hatorah hazot be'ovrecha. And upon them you will write all the words of this Torah. L'man asher tavo al ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha eretz v'at chalav v'dvash k'asher diver Hashem Elokecha Elokei avotecha lach. You will write all the words of the Torah so that you'll know that this is a covenant for the land of Israel. Pasuk dalet v'ayah b'ovrechem et ha'yarden. What do you do with these stones? When you cross over the Yarden, takimu et avanim ha'ela asher nochim mitzvei etchem hayom b'har eval. Set up these stones on Har Eval. V'sadta otam basid, cover them with plaster. V'anita shem mizbeach, there you'll build an altar to God. An altar also built out of large stones. Avanim shlemot ivnet mizbach Hashem. And you bring sacrifices on this altar. Pasuk chet v'chatavta al ha'avanim et kol divrei ha'torah hazot be'er hetev. Upon these stones, you will write the words of this Torah and explain them well. So what command or instruction is Yeshua given vis-a-vis stones in the Torah? To take, when they cross over the yard, and to take a group of stones, take them up the Har Gerizim and Har Evo, which are near Shechem, and upon them cover them with plaster, and upon them write or inscribe the words of the Torah. Does Yeshua ever do this? Maybe later, right? The answer is yes. You flip back to... Actually, no, before we flip back, before I flip back to Yeshua, let's just do one more reference to where this place is as far as the location of Shechem, since we're already in Devarim. Well, that's what we're going to get to. That's exactly what we're going to get to. Are these the same stones? Does he put them in Gilgal temporarily and then move them to Shechem? Or is this a separate monument?
But also here, it sounds like two sets.
Yes, there's two sets. There's a Mizbeach, right, and there's the stones covered in plaster upon which are written the words of the altar, the two different things.
Okay.
And words of the Torah.
He repeats the writing of the
correct, because that's the focus.
But it's still the one.
There's two separate sets of stones, one for the Mizbeach and one for the writing of the Torah, correct. If you jump back to Perek Yud Aleph of Devarim for a moment. Beginning of Peshat Re'eh, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, or Chafav. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. Similar reference that. Psukim that we just read was the beginning of Peshat Ki Tavo, the blessings and curses of Ki Tavo. The blessings and curses are mentioned in Sefer Devarim twice. Beginning of Parshat Re'eh, there's a half a reference to the time that there will be, you will go into the land of Israel, there will be blessings and curses. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala, Et HaBracha SheTishmu Mitzvot Hashem Elokechem Asher Anochi Mitzveh Etchem Hayom. Devarim chapter 11, verse 27. Right, the blessings if you keep the commandments of the Torah, Ve'akala Im Lo Tishmu Mitzvot Hashem Elokechem, and the curses if you don't keep the commandments of the Torah. Pasuk Chav Tet, Ve'aya. When you will come into the land that God will give you, the ceremony of the blessings and curses will be enacted on the mountaintops of Grizim and Eval. Now, just in case you don't know where Hagrizim and Eval are, considering the fact that Bnei Israel have never been to the land of Israel, so it's not, you know, two mountains named Hagrizim and Arevo mean nothing to Bnei Israel, so the Torah goes out of its way to tell us where these places are. Halohema be'eva hayarden, they are across the Yarden. Acharei derech mevo hashemesh, just past the road, the end of the road that is the western road. Mevo hashemesh is the sunset. Derech mevo hashemesh is a road that heads into the sunset, meaning a western road. There are very few western roads in the land of Israel. I told you that once. We went through the road structure of Israel. Most of the roads in Israel, the main highways go north-south. There's a handful of valleys that create passageways east-west. And one of them is I'll show you on the map, is a road that goes from the northern tip of the Yarden straight to the area of Shechem. It's called Derech Mevo HaShemesh. Be'eretz HaKnani HaYoshev Ba'arava Mula Gilgal. It's near Gilgal. Eitzel Elonei More. So the location of this Derech Mevo HaShemesh, if you see here, here's Shechem. You see where Shechem is on the map? You actually have this map in the source pages that I gave you initially. There's some extras here. Right? There's a map. This map is very interesting. We haven't looked at it yet, but I will show you what's significant about this map. They're crossing the Yarden here, by Gilgal. They're crossing the Yarden here by Gilgal. About 20 or 25 kilometers north of them is the intersection between the Yarden and the Yabok. Right, the Yabok River. Now, across from the Yarbok River, there's a valley. I don't know if you can see it on your map. You can. It's actually on the map. It's marked. It says Derech Mevo HaShemesh. You see? That's a road that goes from the from the Jordan Valley. It runs east-west and drops you into Shechem. You can actually see it. If you're standing on... if you're standing where today the city of Elon Moreh is, you can actually look out to Shechem, which is down below. There's a whole discussion about where Hagrizim and Areval are. It's a whole discussion of whether they're the two mountains east-west or the two mountains north-south. But coming through is a valley that runs from the Jordan River. You can actually drive through it. I'll tell you, although don't quote me, there's a... Oh, well. Well, they're named after biblical places,
no,
right?
No, I'm saying they're the same places.
Right.
No, along the way, it's not the same along the
way. Well, it's certainly in the area, whether it's the same as the ancient city of Elo Morez, I have no idea where they built it. But the modern cities aren't necessarily built on the ancient sites.
I think Elo Morez is.
Could be. But this road is very significant. This is the road that Yaakov travels. I said we'd get back to Yaakov, remember? This is the road that Yaakov travels when he comes back from the house of Lavan. Remember, he meets Lavan here near the Yabok River at a place called... Where does he meet Lavan? A place that gets named Machanaim. Right, that's where he sees the angels, and he calls the place Machanaim. He calls it the Machane Elokim. That's over the Yabok River. Why is it over the Yabok River? How do I know it's over the Yabok River? Because that's the river he crosses when he fights the angel Saro Shel Esav. Vayivate Yaakov Levado. He's crossing over the Yabok River in order to return southward into the land of Israel. So he gets the Yabok River and he crosses here. And then, remember, he's headed south, but he doesn't go south. He ends up going into Shechem. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Whole discussion about what Shalem means. Most Mepharshim means it means he arrives whole, cured, healed. I had a tour guide once who pointed out that there's an Arab village just outside Shechem called Shulam, and that may be the ancient city of Shechem. That's what it means. Yaakov Shalem Yir Shechem. It's an interesting observation. But to get there, you have to go through this valley. That's the valley you get to. Now, at the intersection between the Yabok River and this valley, there's a city. The city is called Adam Ha'ir. Now, why is that significant? Where is that familiar to you from? Yes, it should be. Absolutely. Very, very important. It certainly should be. Okay. Perek Gimel of Yehoshua, Pasuk Tet Zayin. Pasuk Tet Zayin. ויעמדו המים היורדים מלמעלה כמה נד אחד הרחק מאוד מאדם העיר. The water, when the waters of the Yarden stopped, the dam that was created, that stopped the water from one end, was at Adam Ha'ir. And they're crossing over at Gilgal. It's 25 kilometers north. Remember I said, we asked the question, why is it so far north? So we said, well, it creates this big, giant tower of water that everybody can see. So why here? Why not here? Why not here? Why not here? Why Dafka Adam Ha'ir? Unless it was significant. Why would it be significant? Because it's God's way of pointing to Bnei Israel and saying, here's your next stop. Adam Ha'ir is the starting point of the road that leads into Shechem. Bnei Israel have no idea what Hargriz and Menara Eval are. All they're told is it's at the end of a road called Derech Mevo HaShemesh. Well, where is Rechov Derech Mevo HaShemesh? They've never been in the land of Israel in the last 400 years. So it's the whole process is in a sense a way for God to say to them, okay, here you're crossing into the Yarden, you're going to set up camp in Gilgal, but your next step is going to be a city called, or after you finish with Yericho, a city called Ai. A city called Shechem, where you're going to have a ceremony of blessings and curses on Hargrizim and Har-Eval, which are at the end of a road called Derech Mevo HaShemesh. And if you don't know where that is, I'll show it to you. Because that's exactly where the waters of the Yarden split. And the intersection of Yaakov's journey back into the land of Israel with the crossing of the Yabok River into the Yarden River as he makes his journey into Shechem. And that's where Hagrizim and Har Evel are. And there, at Hagrizim and Har Evel, you will take stones, you will cover them with plaster, and you will write on them the words of the blessings and the curses, and an entire ceremony of, or reenact the ceremony of, Kabbalat Torah. And that's exactly what Yeshua does in chapter 8. At the end of chapter 8, starting right after the battle with Ai, starting with Pasuk Lamed. Az yivne Yehoshua mizbech l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'har Eval. Then Yehoshua built an altar to God in Har Eval. Kasher tziva Moshe eved Hashem et bnei Yisrael. Kaketub b'sefer Torat Moshe. Exactly as God had instructed him. Mizbech habanim shlemot asher lo nivalem b'azeli. Made an altar out of whole stones. Ve'alu olot l'Hashem v'yizbechu shlamim. And they brought sacrifices on that altar. Vayichtov sham al ha'avanim et mishne Torat Moshe asher katav l'vnei Yisrael. And upon the stones, again, whether it's the same stones as the altar or a separate mitzvah, we'll leave for now, they wrote the words of the Torah. And then the description of the entire ceremony, half of the people in Har Gerizim, half the people in Har Eval. They read the words of the blessings and the curses of the brachot and klalot, and that's the fulfillment of the command vis-a-vis the writing of the Torah. So now I have in a sense three sets of stones. Right, I have three sets of stones now. One that's going to be put in Har Gerizim and Har Eval, upon which are going to be written the words of the Torah. One which is going to be set up in Gilgal, comprised of 12 stones. How do I know it's 12 stones? I have no idea how many stones are in the Mizbech and in the monument upon which are written the words of the Torah. But I know how many stones are in Gilgal. How many? 12. Because it says 12, one for each tribe of Israel. And a third set of stones? In the bedrock of the Jordan River, underneath where the Kohanim stood, 12 avanim. So I have three sets of stones. I'm assuming that there's either three or possibly two. In other words, it's not clear if Yehoshua takes the stones from Gilgal, and I don't think he does, but there are Mephoshim who say he takes the stones that are placed in Gilgal as a temporary placement, and then he moves them up to Shechem. I don't think so. My intuition is that he doesn't move them from Gilgal, he leaves them in Gilgal. They serve a very important purpose in Gilgal. What that purpose is, I haven't defined yet. The stones in Har Gerizim and Har Eval, I think, serve a different purpose than the stones at Gilgal.
Could there be four?
Well, in Shechem, there's either one or two. I'm less interested in Shechem right now. For many reasons, but right, none of them political. But so, what do we do with these 12 stones that he sets up in Gilgal and in the Yarden? God instructed him vis-a-vis the 12 in Gilgal. We know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to take stones to Shechem. Is God instructing him to take stones to Gilgal temporarily, and then from there to take them up to Shechem and use them for the Mizbeach, or for the monument in Shechem, maybe? Or is Yeshua, and if that's the case, does he move them, or does Yeshua split the commands into two? But he certainly introduces a third set of stones, minimally, possibly a fourth, in the bedrock of the Yarden, underneath where the Kohanim stood. So what's going on? What's going on? So first of all, let's spend a moment and talk about the difference between a Mizbeach and a Matzeva. Very important distinction between a Mizbeach and a Matzeva. Mizbeach appears any time the Torah commands or instructs us to bring sacrifices, the command is always to build a mizbeach out of stones. Whole stones, not hewn stones, no, not carved stones, holes, whatever the instructions are, but it's always upon a mizbeach. In fact, take a look in Devarim, Perek Tet Zayin. Show you an interesting pasuk. One thing's for sure, by the time you finish, you learn your way around Tanakh. Devarim Perek Tet Zayin. Pasuk Chaf Bet. Actually, let's start with Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Lo titalacha ashera kol eitz, eitz umizbach Hashem alakach asher tasalach. Commandment not to build any plant any kind of tree near the Mizbeach. Devarim Perek Tet Zayin. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, 16:21. Not allowed to plant any kind of tree near the altar. Why not? Why can't you place a tree near the altar? Because it was a Avodah Zarah. Because the Canaanites used trees as a component of the Avodah Zarah. Which Avodah Zarah? I did tell you. Right? The Asherah or the Ashtoreth. The relationship between Baal and Ashtoreth. Remember, Baal is the god of rain. Ashtoreth is the consort of the Baal of rain, of the god of rain, which is essentially the vegetation that grows from the ground, and thereby represented by the Asherah tree. The Mizbeach is a place where you want to serve God, and you don't want anybody to perceive the possibility that there's a symbol of any kind of alternative religious system there. Therefore, no trees allowed anywhere near the Mizbeach. Lo takim lecha matzeva asher saneh Hashem alakecha. Nor may you build a matzeva which is despised by Hashem your God. God doesn't like matzevas. He only likes mizbeach. Go figure what that means. Right. Mizbeach, God likes mizbeach. Matzevot, God doesn't like matzevot. What's the difference between a mizbeach and a matzeva? So the Gemara says, Mizbeach, it's actually the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and I think you have it on the source pages that I just gave you. Bimus, which is another name for a matzeva, Evan Achat, Mizbeach, Avanim Arbei. A matzeva is built out of one stone, usually, and a matzeva is built out of, and a Mizbeach is built out of multiple stones. So a Mizbeach, which is built out of multiple stones, God likes that. A matzeva, which is built out of one stone, God doesn't like that. Sounds arbitrary, right? And there are some unfortunately that say that it is arbitrary. Why does God not like the matzeva? Because the Canaanites brought sacrifices on their matzevot, and God didn't want us to imitate the practices of the Canaanites, much like the Asherah. There's nothing inherently wrong with the tree. It's very pretty. But the moment they turn a tree into an idolatry, it becomes a symbol of something else. Right? An idolatry. That was very good. Whereas, and the same thing can be said about a matzeva. The moment the Canaanites used a matzeva instead of a mizbeach, then it became a symbol of idolatry, and therefore God doesn't approve of the matzeva. There's a language in the Medrash that says, actually it's quoted by the Mefarshim, Ahuv bimei ha'avot v'sanu bimei ha'banim. That in the days of the forefathers, God liked matzevot, because the avot built matzevot all the time. But by the time Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, it had been so overwhelmed by the idolatry of the Canaanites, God said no more. Told them to do what here? So that's the question. What's going on? That's the question. What's going on? Not only that, Bnei Yisrael built matzevot at Mamar HaSinai. Take a look at Shemot Perek of Dalet. Shemot Perek Chaf Dalet. In Yeshua it's a matzeva. Well, there's both. There's a mizbeach and hagrizim and a reval, but mimatzav 12 avanim Vekim, what is the language by Yeshua? Take Vekimotam. I don't think it actually says Matzeva. I think it just says Hekimotam. It says Mimatzav Raglea Kohanim. Okay. I'll come back to it. It says Vehikimu Etavanim. Doesn't say what they made out of them. 12 avanim hekim Yoshua. No, definitely not Mizbeach. There's no question. And similarly at the end, v'chtemesve ha'avanim ha'ela she'lakum min ha'yadein hekim Yoshua ba'Gilgal. We'll come back to it. Perek Chaf Dalid is the story of the aftermath of Mamre HaSinai. It's a whole discussion whether this chapter happens before Mamre HaSinai or after Mamre HaSinai. It's Machloket Rashi and Ramban. I'm not going to get into the discussion. Maybe when you're for Shavuos, we'll discuss it at length. It has significant ramifications for other issues. But Moshe goes up the mountain and then he comes down the mountain. When he comes down the mountain, he takes Pasuk Dalet. Vayichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem. Writes down the words of God. Vayashkem Moshe baboker. Gets up in the morning. Vayiven mizbeach tachat ahar. And he builds an altar underneath the mountain. Ushtem esrei matzeva lishneim asar shiftei Yisrael. And 12 matzevot corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. And for that you need 12 stones. Because a matzeva by definition is one stone. That's what Yaakov had. He took of the stones of the place and he placed it under his head. Right? Remember the Medrash about the 12 stones that all combined into one? Where did the 12 stones come from? And then he took the Evan, which he had placed under his head, Vayasemota Matseva. And there he, we'll come back to this in a moment. He turned it into a Matseva. A Matseva is one stone. So under, at the foot of of Har Sinai, we built a Mizbeach. And next to the Mizbeach, we built 12 Matsevot, each made of one stone. By the way, in the Kodesh, in the Beit HaMikdash, there was both a Mizbeach and a Matzeva. Well, where was the Mizbeach? Right. And where was the stone? Where was the one stone with a capital O and a capital S?
That was
in the Kodesh HaKodashim.
But we don't think of it as a Matzeva.
Correct. But essentially, it's one stone.
Right.
Yeah, it's the Evan Ashtia, in a sense, is the Matzeva of the Kodesh HaKadosh. Right? So what's the issue with the Matzeva versus the Mizbeach? And it's interesting that here there are 12 stones, each one forms a Matzeva. And I suspect that that's precisely the formation that Yoshua took these stones with and set them as well. I don't think he set them 12 stones into one pile. I think because then it's hard to see that there are 12 of them. I think he took those 12 stones and he put them into a formation of 12 matzevot. Because the only precedent for 12 stones comes from Mamre HaSinai. And at Mamre HaSinai it was 12 stones for 12 separate monuments corresponding to 12 tribes of Israel. And that's precisely what Yoshua understood God's command to be. Take 12 tribes, take 12 representatives, take 12 stones, and set them up in Gilgal. What did Yoshua understand that to mean? If not, a reenactment of the same parallel that you had at Mamre HaSinai. You have the revelation of God's presence is at Kriyat HaYarden, just as there was a revelation of God's presence at Kriyat Yamsuf. And as a corresponding to the building of the Matzevot of Bnei Yisrael, he takes 12 stones and he establishes 12 Matzevot. The mystery is why he puts another 12 in the heart of the Yarden, but we'll come back to that in a moment.
So the mystery is why it says, do not build Matzevot,
Right. And take a look at so one more Matzivah we have to look at, and then I'll show you a Ramban, and we'll put this all together. Now let's go back to the story of Yaakov. We started with Yaakov, we're going to end with Yaakov. Remember, this whole thing starts with Yaakov. That's where Yaakov is. So let's go back to Yaakov for a moment. Beginning of Pashat Vayetze. By the way, in total, how many Matzevot does Yaakov build in his life? Interesting question. Who knows? I can tell you. No. In Peniel, did you say?
In
Machanaim, you mean?
Didn't he go before when he was going to run away?
Yeah, that's the first one. That's Beitel. That's Beitel. That's the first one. That's the big one. That's one that everybody knows because that's the story of the ladder. Right? There are, in fact, four in Yaakov's lifetime. Two in Parshat Vayetze and two in Parshat Vayishlach. Let's go back to the beginning of Parshat Vayetze. Perek Chaf Chet. Vayetze Yaakov Beshava Vayelech Haran. Yaakov goes to Haran. He reaches the place, sleeps there. Kiva Hashemesh, the sunset. He takes of the stones of the place and he places it under his head. That's the medrash that he took multiple stones and formed them into one, where they formed themselves into one. The pshat is that he took of the many stones in the area, he took one. You only need, for a pillar, you only need one stone. Nobody needs more than one stone for a pillow, right? If you have a feather pillow, you might take two. But if you have a stone for a pillow, you take one. We are at the beginning of Pashat Vayetze, which is chapter 28, Pasuk Yud Gimel now. Or Yud Bet. He has a dream. Now, it's an interesting dream. Listen to the language. Listen to the Milat Mancha. Mem Tzadik Bet. Or actually the root, which is Mem Tzadik Bet. Vinei sulam mutzav arza, a ladder, grounded in the earth. V'dasho magia shemayim, and the tops to the heavens. Vinei malachei elokim olim v'yordim bo, angels going up and down. Vinei Hashem nitzav alav, God is standing over him. And he says, "Ani Hashem alakei Avraham, alakei Yitzchak, alakei Yitzchak. Ha'arz asher atah shechev aleha la'chatnen ulzarecha." This land I will give to you and to your seed after you. The rest of the promise God makes to Abraham, to Yaakov, I'm going to skip. I will be with you. I will protect you. I won't abandon you. I'm more interested in what Yaakov does when he wakes up. Pasuk Tzayin. Vaykatz Yaakov mishnato v'yomer achen yesh Hashem b'makom ezev anochi lo yadati. This is God's place. I didn't know. If you would have known, he wouldn't have gone to sleep. Which is the raya, which is the source of the halacha that you're not allowed to sleep in shul. This is the house of God. This is the gates of heaven. He took the stone that he had placed under his head, and he made it into a matzeva, which is translated as a monument. And he poured oil over it. And he called the place Beit El, and he makes a special neder to God that he will. This stone which I have made into a matzeva, in Pasuk Chavbet, he says, I will transform into a house of God. The end of Pashat Vayetze, Lavan comes running after him. They meet up in Machanaim. Lavan tries to kill him or to steal his daughters and grandchildren back. They part company by a brit. Pasuk Mem Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Dalet. V'yata, l'cha nichrata brit, ani va'ata. You and I are going to make a brit, that you and I are going to stay far apart. Vayala ed beni uvenecha. Testimony between you and me. Vayikach Yaakov even v'yirimea matziva. So he took an even and he made it into a monument, into a matziva. Then he says to his brethren, liktu avanim v'yikhu avanim v'yasu gal. Then he takes multiple stones and he builds them into a heap. So I have a matziva and a gal. A monument and a heap of stones. Then they eat there. V'yikhu sham ala gal. They eat on the heap of stones. What is the heap of stones called? Mizbeach. And they eat on the Mizbeach, but not on the Matseva. Vayikra lo Lavan Yagar Saduta Yaakov and called it by its Aramaic name. Yaakov names it Galed, a heap of testimony. Vayomel Lavan Hagal Azeh Ed Ben Yuvenecha Yomel King Kreshmo Galed. Galed, by the way, okay, we'll talk about that another time. Vayamitzpah Sheramai Yatzef Hashem Ben Yuvenecha. Tzpa and the Matziva, there's a whole story, a whole pun in language here, but I'm going to skip it. And then Yaakov says, Pasuk Nun Aleph, Vayom Alavan Li Yaakov, Hine Hagal Hazeh, Vine HaMatziva. There is the Gal, and there is a Matziva. Eid Hagal Hazeh, Ve'eda HaMatziva. Testimony. It's a border. It's a border marker between your turf and my turf. It's a border marker. You will never cross this boundary. It's a border marker of the boundary of the land that belongs to Yaakov versus the land that belongs to Love. So I have two usages of the matzeva. I have a matzeva as an alternative to the mizbeach upon which Yaakov pours oil to the place of the Beit El, the place of the revelation of God. And here the Ramban makes the observation that Yaakov never brings sacrifices on the Matzeva. At no point does Yaakov ever bring a korban on the Matzeva. Korbanot are only brought on the Mizbeach, never on a Matzeva. A Matzeva you can pour oil, a Matzeva you can anoint, a Matzeva you would never bring sacrifices on. Why? So here's the philosophical understanding I heard this once from Rav Meidan, and I think it's a very powerful interpretation of the whole concept of a matzeva. A matzeva is essentially a monument, but a monument to what? When Yaakov builds the matzeva, what is he building a monument to? And then calling it Beit El, to God. When there's a revelation of God's presence, you build a monument. You build a matzeva. There's no sacrifices on the matzeva, because you can't bring a sacrifice in the place of the Gilui Shechina. The Gilui Shechina is a place that's too sanctified, it's too holy, it's too place of the revelation of God's presence. The responsibility, the response of Bnei Israel is to listen, to hear, to heed God's word, but not to bring sacrifices. Sacrifices are outside in the courtyard of the temple. They're not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There are never any korbanot brought into the inner sanctum of the Holy of Holies, with the exception of Yom Kippur. The matzivah is in the inner sanctum in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a representation of the concept of Gilui Shechina. That's why Rav Hirsch says that the matzeva is made out of one stone. It's a natural phenomenon. A mizbeach is man-made. On a man-made object, you can bring a korban. You can't bring a korban on the matzeva because it represents the notion of the world that God created and revealed His presence in it. And that's not a place where you pretend that you're in charge for bringing sacrifice. A whole different philosophical concept. That's one purpose for a matzeva. But there's a second purpose for a matzeva, which is a much simpler matzeva, namely a marker, a boundary marker, a border marker. The next two matzevot that Yaakov will build, I won't show you the text, I'll just tell you, in the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach, he goes back to Beit El after the story of Shechem. God comes to him and he says, no, what happened to Beit El? So he goes back to Beit El, and there he builds a Mizbeach, and he builds a Matzeva. On the Mizbeach he brings sacrifices, and on the Matzeva he anoints with oil. And then three psukim later, Rachel dies, and upon Rachel's grave, he places a Matzevet Aven. He places a Matzeva. But there's two different matzivot there. One is a revelation, one is a representation of the place of God's temple, of God's house, and the other is a placement marker to mark a border or boundary. Those are the two functionalities that you find for a matzeva. One is kodesh and one is chol. When we come into the land of Israel, Yeshua is essentially commanded or instructed to go up to Har Gerizim and Har Evel, build a mizbeach. I believe there are mizbeach and a matzeva, but we'll talk about that when we get to Parakhet, and upon which to inscribe the words of the Torah, much like a representation of Mamre Har Sinai. That's the matzeva that has its source in the matzeva of Yaakov Avinu, the revelation of God's presence. The matzeva that he builds here out of the 12 stones, I think, is a different purpose altogether. I think the matzeva that he builds here is the parallel to the matzeva that Yaakov built with Lavan. Namely, it's a boundary marker. It's a boundary marker. What's the boundary marker? Now, for a boundary marker, how many stones do you need? One. Yeshua builds a very interesting boundary marker. It's made out of 12 stones. And he builds it twice. Once in the heart of the Yarden, and once in Gilgal. Why would he take 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel and build a boundary marker twice? So let me show you one more piece. I'm a little bit behind where I wanted to be, but all right, we'll do this quickly. One of the last stories in Sefer Yehoshua. This way you can say you finish Yeshua, right? Perek Chaf Bet. Yeshua sends Reuven, Gad, and Shimon home. But 14 years, the 2.5 tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh. 14 years, the 2.5 tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh have lived up to their commitment to fight together with Bnei Israel. And at the end of those 14 years, Yeshua sends them home. And that's the beginning of chapter 22. 22.5 tribes, Yeshua says to them, he gives them food, and he praises them for their loyalty and for their commitment, and he sends them on his way. Pasuk Tet. Vayashuvu vayachu b'nei Reuvenu b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet ha-Menasheh meid b'nei Yisrael mishiloh she-be'eretz Kanaan. 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh from Shiloh are sent on their way, lalechet al eretz ha-Gilad, to go back to the land of the Gilad. Remember Gal-Ed? Gilad. Al eretz ha-Chuzatam, to the land of their inheritance. Vayavo el Glilot ha-Yarden. There's a lot of puns on the names of the places here. They get to Glilot ha-Yarden, which sounds like Gilgal. Right? They get to Glilot HaYarden. Glilot HaYarden is the crossing of the Yarden. Asher Be'eretz Kanaan. Vayivnu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad b'chatzi shevet ha-Menasheh sham mizbeach al Yarden. Mizbeach kadol l'mareh. And upon the borders of the Yarden, they build a gigantic mizbeach. Enormous mizbeach. Large enough to be seen from Gilgal, from Shiloh. Here's Shiloh. They're over here. They build a mizbeach large enough to be seen from Shiloh. How big do you have to be able to be seen from Shiloh? Pretty big, right? And we're used to building pyramids, not big. Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael emor, b'nei Yisrael heard, they heard b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad b'chatzi shevet ha-Menasheh build banu b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad b'chatzi shevet ha-Menasheh ha-mizbeach ha-mul eretz Kanaan ha-gulot ha-Yarden. They built the Mizbeach, according to most Mefarshim, on the east side of the Yarden. They built this giant altar. And they get, Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael, Israel gets angry, they get together, Vayikalu kol adat b'nei Yisrael shilo la'alot alehem letzava. They gather all of the army of Israel together, they're going to go to war against Reuven and Gad and Manasseh. Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh just spent the last 14 years fighting in the front lines of your Marines. And there is now going to be the first civil war in Israel. B'nai Israel, the remaining tribes east of the west of the Jordan, have gathered together in Shiloh to embark on a military campaign against the 2.5 tribes for the audacity of building Mizbeach. And they send in this delegation none other than the local Kanoi by the name of Pinchas. וישתחו בני שאול, בני ראובן, ובני גד, וחצי שבט המנשה לארץ הגלעד, את פנחס, בן אלעזר הכהן. They send a delegation of Pinchas together with a representative group, עשרה נשיאים עמו, 10 tribes, 10 נשיאים, representing the remaining 10 tribes of Israel. They come and they say to them the following. פסוק ט"ז. כל הדת השם. This is what the congregation of God has said to you. מה מעל הזה שמעלתם באלוהי ישראל לשוב היום מאחרי השם? What is this trespass? What is this violation that you have violated today? Bivnotechem lechem izbeach limidrechem limrodchem hayom b'Hashem. That you should build your own altar. It's prohibited to build your own altar. There's only one altar, and it is in the Mishkan, which is in Shiloh. How dare you build yourselves your own altar? Hamat lanu atavon pa'or? Are we? We haven't yet recovered from the iniquity of Baal Peor, where Bnei Yisrael lost an entire tribe, and now you're going to rebel again? Look at Pasuk Yotet. Ve'af im tme'a eretz achuzatchem. If the land of your inheritance is so impure, ivru lachem al eretz achuzat Hashem, then why don't you cross over into the land of God's inheritance? Asher shechan sham mishkan Hashem, where the mishkan is. Ve'achazu b'tocheinu. And take a portion of the land with us. U'bashem al timrodu. But do not rebel against God. So if you don't like it in the land of Israel, you think that in the land of Eivrei Yarden, you think that Eivrei Yarden is so tummy, is so impure, that you have to build yourself your own altar. Not clear again whether they built the altar on the west side of the Yarden or the east side of the Yarden. According to this, it sounds like they built it on the west side of the Yarden. I'm not going to get into that issue. But they say to them, why don't you just come back home? Bnei Yisrael's answer. פסוק אלף, ויענו בני ראובן ובני גד וחצי שבט המנשה, וידברו על ראשי רופאי ישראל, בני ראובן גד המנשה, answer the following. אל אלוקים השם, כל אלוקים השם הוא יודע, וישראל הוא יודע. God of Israel knows, and now you know. אם במרד ואם במר בהשם, אל תושיענו עליהם הזה. If we did this as a trespass against God, let God not save us. לבנות לנו מזבח? We built an altar, lashuv me'achrei Hashem, to abandon God. Ve'im lahalot alav olal mincha. We did not build this altar to bring upon it a single sacrifice. Im lasot alav zivchei shlamim, Hashem yivakesh. If we built this to bring a single sacrifice, then God will have our heads. No, you misunderstood. Why did we build it? Elo midaka, midavar asinu etzot. We did this because we were concerned, we were worried. What are we worried about? Machar, remember that? What do your children ask you tomorrow? When your children ask you, what are these stones about tomorrow? And you'll say, because God took us over the Yarden. Machar, yomru v'nechem livaneinu. Tomorrow your children will say to our children, your children living on the west side of the Yarden, will say to our children living on the east side of the Yarden, Malachem l'Hashem elokei Yisrael, what portion do you have of the people of Israel and the people of God? God put a boundary, a border between the tribes west of the Yarden and the tribes east of the Yarden. You have no portion with God. We were concerned, says Reuben and Gad, that years from now, your children will accuse our children of not being members of the Jewish people because there's a natural boundary between our lands. This Yarden, this Jordan River, is a threat to us. Forget the threat from other nations that we are exposed because we're the boundary, we're the external boundary of the land of Israel, the border. It's a natural boundary that divides tribe from tribe, brother from brother. What's going to happen 100 years from now or 150 years from now? How are your great-great-great-grandchildren going to understand that we are part of Bnei Israel? So what did they do? They built a giant mizbeach. Now why on earth would they build a giant mizbeach? For not for bringing sacrifices on. They built a replica of the Mizbeach of the Mishkan in Shiloh. not for the purpose of bringing sacrifices, but for the purpose of identifying where their religious allegiance lies. To identify that they're part of the people that serve God in the temple in Shiloh, where this Mizbeach stands in its original. They built a matzeva. Not as a boundary marker to divide, but as a boundary marker to connect. That, I believe, is exactly what Yeshua did. He took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and he put them up as a monument at the entry to the land of Israel, as a marker that says, we're one people. There are 12. Why are there 12? Because there's 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan and 9.5 tribes west of the Jordan. Now, the real place for that boundary marker belongs. Where does that boundary marker really belong? In the bedrock of the Jordan River. To tell everybody that the Jordan River is not the natural boundary of Bnei Israel. It's the link. This boundary, these 12 stones of Israel, is a matzeva that connects the two halves of the land of Israel. The 2.5 tribes east and the 9.5 tribes west. The only problem with the boundary marker in the bedrock of the Jordan is that nobody's going to see it. So he builds the matzeva twice, in the bedrock of the Jordan River and in the boundary of the entrance mark of Gilgal. And there he says, we are 12 tribes. It's not a matzeva for Gilui Shechina. It's not a matzeva for the building of the temple. It's not a matzeva with religious significance. That's a whole different story. That's Shechem. This is a boundary marker to tell the generations to come, when your children will ask you, as women and God understood correctly, the issue is not for now, the issue is for a generation or two or three from now. And your children will ask you, what do these stones represent? What will the answer be? The answer will be that God took us over the Yarden, because both parts of the Yarden belong to the Jewish people. And they're in 2.5 tribes of our brethren on the other side of the Yarden, and don't ever think that they're not part of Bnei Israel. And that's what I think was so critical. We will explore that at much greater length when we get to this chapter. The Jordan River was one of our biggest stumbling blocks in the history of Bnei Israel, because there are at least 3 civil wars in Tanakh. I don't know if you're aware of that. There are at least 3 civil wars in Tanakh. In Sefer Shoftim alone, every one of them takes place over the boundary of the Jordan River. And a war between the East and the West. It was an enormously problematic boundary, anticipated in advance by Yehoshua, anticipated in advance by the 2.5 tribes. They were crossing home in trepidation of what that boundary would look like years from now. Adkan. Mizrat Hashem, next week we start chapter 6.